It's the Mac Show. Hello. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. We've been at the same time for 2 weeks running now. It's incredible, I know, but there's consistency returning to the ship. Thanks to everyone who's given us Patreon donations, because we got our first payout today. Absolutely superb. $260 on the first 2 weeks of having a go at doing it. So we're very pleased. Thank you very much. And we've paid for live stream out of it ahead of time. So that gets us away from Justin TV. And thank you ever so much to everyone. And we've had a massive donation as well. One of the sponsors, the Network Union's, dumped an extra $85 a month on us from on high, so that's massively bumped our amounts up. Do appreciate it. We'll be doing the draw for the giveaway now that everyone's coughed up next week, and we'll give away the big swag thing from Macworld. Oh, that'd be great. In the meantime, what a panel we've got this week. It's unbelievable. Starting us up, top left, our warm up man, Adam Christensen, who's been in a fight down the pub.
Yeah,
I thought we were sticking with that. Yeah, we were sticking with that story. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Should have seen the other fella.
Ha! Yeah.
How you been, buddy?
This guy named Santa.
Oh yes.
Not Santa Claus though. Santa Anna.
Santa Anna. Have you been apart from the eye, buddy?
Been good.
Excellent, mate.
Just been busy. Did you start the live stream, by the way?
Yeah, it's Batwinch has just stuck a link in the chat room there.
It's going now. Well, and we'll see if I can even get it. Last week, I couldn't even.
Yeah, but
there's something going on with it. It's been like being blocked. Like my IP is blocked by live stream or something.
I told you, you shouldn't have said that crap about them. That's the trouble. They've got you on a list, mate. You're on the livestream.com death squad.
It's only my Mac. I can get it running on my iPad. So that's my backup plan.
You'll be fine. Welcome in, mate. Next to him, stepping in at the very last moment, because Kelly did tell me this morning that she couldn't make it, but I couldn't do anything about asking him. But Jeff, thank you ever so much, mate.
Oh, sure. Glad to be here.
And you're in crystal vision today.
Yeah, well, there's a new router on this network, and things seem to be working much better now.
Good stuff, mate. Excellent. Thank you.
Not one of the new airports, is it?
No, it's not. Sadly.
I keep eyeing that tower and going, I think $200 might be too much to spend for a router for me. But
it's excuse me, the tower router is awesome. Mm-hmm. I have one. I just can't use it right now because I don't have control over the network.
You want to send it to me?
When I could. Yep. No.
Now you know who your friends are. And as it's INCN says in the chat room, it's Tom!
Mr. Merritt it is.
Finally returns. We've tried a few times, it has to be said.
Yeah, we had a few false starts, but no, it's good. It sucks that I have scheduling conflicts with the big show now, but it's good to see Jeff again. Good to see all you guys.
Yeah.
It's great to see
you, Tom.
And doing well.
I'm fit.
DTNS is through the roof, buddy.
Yeah, it's actually going way better than I expected or hoped. We're getting great guests. We had a really good episode with Scott Johnson earlier this week where we kind of laid out the whole Comcast, Netflix, Verizon, what the hell are they doing, interconnection thing. And the one thing that I was like, listen, you people who actually work on network infrastructure, send your corrections. And they're all like, I think you got it pretty close to right. So felt pretty good about that.
No, excellent. That's a great show at the moment.
Tricky stuff.
Fantastic show. To even get Scott to reply to me emails. That'd be nice.
I've asked him on the show a few times. Right now.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, another person who's not been around for a while, making a welcome return, apparently due to post a podcast. Greeny.
Hello, chap.
Hello, mate.
Not too bad.
Now, you've got a bet with probably about 1,000 people at the moment that you're going to publish a podcast on Monday.
9 o'clock, £10 you will be owing me.
I will be owing you. I'll be very happy to owe you £10, mate, because you haven't done a podcast since sodden December.
I know. It is a while. Quality rather than quantity. That's my philosophy on the old podcast.
But you've got no choice, have you?
Yeah. I've been growing a beard, right?
You said when you were going to come on that you were going to show us this fine beard. Where the bloody hell's the beard, boy?
Well, it got really big and it got very bushy. And I hadn't got a beard trimmer. Now I have got a beard trimmer, but I borrowed my wife's
lady trimmer. Shave.
Yeah.
Your wife's got a beard trimmer?
Body,
as it were.
I'm not judging.
And I had a go with it, and it just, the whole thing disappeared. It was amazing. I started on it, and I had a few patchy bits. I thought, oh, sod it, so I shaved it all off, and I've begun again.
Dude, you've still got a few patchy bits.
Well, yeah, I know. There it is.
Zoom in. Enhance.
No, there isn't. This is as good a quality as it gets.
To be fair, though, all of you, there's a lot of facial hair going on at the moment, isn't there? That's the new thing, isn't it?
Apart from Adam.
I can't see Adam. Have you got any facial hair, Adam?
We're at peak
Adam
beard.
Adam is so manly, he doesn't need a beard.
Ah.
Yeah, he's got a black eye.
I grow a beard to save my life. You know, did you ever see that episode of Cheers where they do the beard contest and Cliff kind of grows in patches? No.
Is that you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mine's okay. I mean, I'm not particularly hairy at all. I don't have a hairy chest, but mine takes me a good 10 weeks to get it up to something worthwhile. But I've got a bit under ear where I fell off a bike when I was 11 in France, and I landed on my chin, and it doesn't grow anything. Never has. Big hole. There you go.
So mine's ginger, which is rather upsetting. Nothing against ginger, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, it doesn't fit when you've got brown hair, though, does it? That's the trouble.
No, and it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like one of those identity kit things and that mixed up the pieces.
I get the hair on my head from my dad and the hair on my chin from my mum.
I think that's about the score. At least I've got hair on my head and soon on my face as well, which is all right, well, isn't it?
Your mom borrowed Greenie's wife's beard trimmer.
Could be. You see, now, Jeff's is you're very Athos, very Porthos, very, very musketeer, mate. It's very well shaped and trimmed.
Why, thank you.
And Tom's, yours is a proper man's beard. It's full and even and rounded and...
People who really wear beards are like, you need to keep letting it grow because I keep trimming it, trimming it back.
You got a bit of Billy Goat Grey, though, at the front like me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's speckled all through. You were talking about, I got ginger, I got brunette, I got gray, all of it.
Yeah, but you can get those hairs out after you've done the kissing. That's fine.
Tom, you know, beardy-wise, how do you know, like, above your top lip, when it sort of grows over a little bit and starts to tickle, what do you do about that then? What's your...
That's where I use the beard trimmers, like, mini head, and you just kind of chop them off.
Yeah, I've got a Mac 3 with welcome to This Week in Beards. I've got a Mac 3 with like a little mini trimmer that comes off, and then you put the razor blade on to do the rest. And I also got one of the followers on Twitter, actually, Thames Boater. He gave me a link to a Remington beard trimmer, which I've got to say, top hole. Excellent stuff.
I got a Remington beard trimmer. That's what I got it from Amazon yesterday.
Yeah, it's got the little step out thing, so you can count the number of steps to get an even trim all over. And...
Yeah, the one I have has like a vacuum to like keep the hairs from getting everywhere.
Oh, was it designed by Caractacus?
I've seen that one. What's the name of it? It's an unusual name, isn't it?
It's the one they use on the space station, by the sounds.
No, it's got an LCD readout and everything.
Oh, this one just has a manual readout. I guess the new ones have the LCD readout. Mine's not quite that fancy.
I'm getting nothing out of this conversation whatsoever.
Thanks, bull boy.
Works on ear hair, Adam.
Oh, there you go. I got that.
Yeah, yeah. If you want it really friggin' short.
That's a nice little bonus you get as you get older, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Week in Apple, what's gone on? Because there's not a lot, that's why we're talking beards. Angela Ahrens.
Kelly's really sad she missed this.
Well, Kelly probably has got a beard trimmer, but that's a different story entirely. Now she's not on the trawler vessels anymore. I hope she doesn't listen. Well, I'm kidding. Sure, she doesn't listen. She doesn't listen to me at all. Angela Ahrens has finally joined the team. She's appeared on the leadership page. There she is, settled neatly between Eddie Q and Tim Cook. I don't want to read anything into that. There's no stories required here, Greeny. Don't go.
No,
there.
I was going to say she's quite foxy, isn't she?
She is. She's MILF, mate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only thing.
Wow.
Hopefully Angela doesn't listen.
Oh, well, Angela guaranteed doesn't listen, yeah. Angela Ahrens, I've got to say, I fully accept that she's got a track record in retail through her association with the lot that make the Czech stuff,
Burberry.
Burberry, thank you.
CEO of Burberry.
Yeah, that's right, CEO of Burberry. But, I mean, if you look at the kind of the Ron Johnson effect on Apple retail, and then the negativity that came from John Browett's influence on the system, and the kind of limbo it's been in pretty much ever since, is her background the right one for it? Do you really want a clothing retailer heading up a tech retail firm that was renowned for innovation and layout of its stores that now is getting a little bit samey and probably could really do with an injection?
I think you're looking at the wrong aspect of her skill set.
Okay.
Look at what she did to revitalize Burberry, and look what she did in China. She has a lot of experience in revitalizing and in growing markets where, well, in this case, where Apple hasn't been able to get as strong a foothold as they would like. Those are the good things that she's bringing to the table.
Right. So you're not looking for a revamp of the stores in any way from her? It's more of a marketing and advertising.
I'm sure there will be some changes because she's new leadership. But I'm not expecting to go in and see spinner racks with designer piping Macs hanging on the shelves.
No, that's not what I was suggesting either, though, to be fair. I mean, I'm not trying to slag the poor girl off before she's even got a chance. But go on, Tom, you've got something to say.
Apparently, one of the things that she's best known for is her ability to manage employees very well. When she was at Burberry, anyway, she was known for like going to stores, meeting the employees, having a lot of contact, really boosting morale. And of course, that's the opposite of the previous guy, right? So I think from the stuff I've read that she said, she's going to be about the service aspect and bringing a human touch to computer sales, et cetera, et cetera.
What? That's really good to hear based on a lot of stuff I've heard recently about different people's experiences to going to the Apple store. Generally, they're still, very, very positive, I think, compared to other tech companies. But more and more, I've been hearing those stories from my audience and listeners like, hey, this wasn't the kind of service that I used to get. And Apple always used to be really just on top of that, customer first focus, even with, like Apple Care over the phone and all that stuff. And when they first started doing retail, it was awesome. And then it did get pretty, and it started to get worse. And you could hear in the community that, things were going downhill. So if she can bring back that, I think that's going to be, that customer service experience in the store when, employees are actually interacting with people, that's really good. And I think some of that did stem from, they were kind of cutting back on just the benefits and some of the things they were doing for their employees. And when you start getting disgruntled and angry employees, it starts to show.
The only thing I'll say about Browett is I'm pretty sure I met him at one of the PC World stores in Birmingham a long time ago. And he actually had to get someone else to help me, but I'm pretty sure it was him when I saw his face afterwards. I think maybe he got sold the wrong line as to what was supposed to happen at the stores, what they wanted him to do. And then he was so far down the path that Tim Cook could either stand up and say, well, actually, it was me that was the arsehole, or I can blame the bloke that's going to be going anyway. So let's just blame the bloke that's going anyway. I think the other problem is I don't see a negativity in the Apple stores anymore. But I don't know whether it's because I'm a joint venture customer and a business customer. Therefore, when I go in, and also I know a few of the people through having done the podcast and knowing Greeny before, I've known them in the stores. But I go in, and the other week, Gav at the Solihull store sits and fixes my Mac Mini, which has got a problem with third-party memory, but still fixes and restores the OS on it. He fixes my wife's black MacBook so that my daughter can have it, even though, it's a vintage machine, unquote them. And I walk out having spent absolutely nothing. And that's, you sit and think about, well, yes, they just charged me $3,500 for a laptop. Well, okay, I paid £375 for joint venture, but I know no matter where I am in the world, if that laptop craps out, they will fix it. They will get it to me. They will give me a replacement. I will walk out the store satisfied, and it's worth that money. And that's,
yeah.
I don't see a negative retail experience from where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I personally haven't had any either. But
are like you well said, known though at your local Apple store?
Me, no. They don't know who I am when I go in there.
Oh, right, okay.
Occasionally there might be one guy, but it's not that frequently. I'm just going on, you know, I get a lot of emails and I get a lot of feedback from people in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. I will say that more often than not, I've been hearing from US people in different regions that they're having problems, but Apple has just a ton of retail stores, here and they're growing them. So, I mean, it's also, I know that it can be a symptom of you have more people going into more retail stores and you're going to hear more of the negative stuff. Cause very few people will, shout from the rooftops when they have a good experience, but you better believe they're going to let someone know when they've had one bad one. But also some of the stuff that I've been hearing too, you can't talk about it too much or you can't say where you're hearing it from, but I do hear from a lot of internal retail employees. And I know morale has been kind of getting more down than it has ever been. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And a lot of that comes from, like you were saying, probably from the top down. And so if she can get in there and change and modify some of those policies to make it better for the retail employees, because anybody who's worked retail, I don't know if you guys have had, I have had retail jobs. It sucks being on the ground with consumers sometimes.
Well, we've got a person here who's eminently qualified to discuss the Apple retail system. And it's Greeny, because you were there, mate. You were a creative.
Yeah.
Can he talk about it, though?
Yeah, he doesn't work like that.
Someone won't come take him away.
Well, who cares if they do?
yeah, we'll have the news before they get to his place and take him. So.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get what we want. Go on, Greeny.
I don't know what news to this. What do you want to know?
I want to know, we've heard about the negative experience. Working in retail is pretty poor. I know that having spoken to a couple of other people that we knew from the store, a couple have left very unhappy and disenfranchised in their own thought process. But yeah. You always speak about Apple in fairly glowing terms. You haven't been there for 4 years now?
Fine. Yeah, more than that, I think. I mean, to me, and I think a lot of people who work at Apple Retail use it as a stepping stone to work for Apple Corporate, which is pretty much what I did. And the thing with retail, when I was working there, it was, what was his name? Not Don Johnson, Ron
Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. I met him, nice guy. And he was sort of very down with the kids and he would visit the stores and stuff like that. And every quarter there would be a meeting that every Apple store in the whole of the world would join in at. So, whatever time of day, it doesn't matter. Everybody would join on this sort of this call thing, this video thing. And and you'd have a pizza and a few beers and stuff like that. And there was a real sense of family and community there. And they were a great company to work with, both retail and when I did the corporate thing. In some senses, though, the sense of community was greater when it was retail rather than the corporate side of stuff. So I didn't work there during that bloke from Dixon's. Was it Dixon's?
Yeah, Brett, yep.
Yeah, I think he was a bit of a scapegoat, wasn't he? He was a bit of a transitional period.
I don't know that he got the right brief.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it was great. What Adam says, I mean, retail is the worst hours and the shittest money out of any profession or whatever, or any particular work area. Terrible, terrible hours and terrible money. But, if you're thinking about joining Apple or you do work for Apple, I think everybody just uses it as a stepping stone to move on to bigger things. Because whatever you say about Apple, if you've got them on your CV, because their interview process is pretty rigorous, to become I went straight in as a creative, and it was a fairly rigorous... no, actually, it wasn't. I just did a presentation and I got the job. But for a lot of people, it's fairly rigorous. But they were very kind. And generous company. So I'm going to say nothing against Apple. And don't tell anybody, I've still got all their T-shirts. And so one day I'm going to sell them all on eBay. You're supposed to cut them up, but I didn't.
Well, no, they're more valuable for you having worn them than the fact that they're Apple, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I got a new computer.
You did? What did you get?
Oh, yeah. It's a new MacBook Pro, Retina and all that sort of stuff. But I don't like it very much. It's got no ports. Well, it's got a load of blooming What is that lightning speed or whatever it's called?
Thunderbolt, yeah.
What are those ports called?
Thunderbolt.
It's got a load of them.
It's got two of them.
It hasn't.
Those are great.
No, it's only got two.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Oh, no,
you should take it into the store and have them fix that.
Load of rubbish, because nothing works with them. I mean, he hasn't even got an Ethernet blooming port. It's ridiculous. If you go to a hotel, he hasn't even got a blooming Ethernet port that I can plug it into the...
Well, you buy the adapter.
Into the internet. It's load up complete rubbish.
You buy the
adapter.
There's
no CD drive in it. I mean, what are you supposed to do with this
there's
thing?
There's not even a floppy disk. How do they sell this thing?
It doesn't even run System 7.
Honestly, I'm really, really disappointed.
What?
Yeah, the screen's a bit better than the previous one.
Bit.
It boots faster because of this SD drive in it.
A bit.
But other than that, a complete load of rubbish.
Do you have a USB port on both sides now on yours?
Ethernet.
No, you've got a USB. USB.
It's only a month old, I think, if that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a big advantage now. You can plug in a USB port on either side. I love having the choice.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Great.
If only there was a place you could check and see what kind of ports they had before you bought it.
Yeah, if only. But that's crazy talk. Why would someone ever list the ports on the computer?
Greeny, I've got a 2008 MacBook Pro. It's 17-inch. I'll swap it. No worries.
Well, to be honest, I've gone back to my old MacBook Pro. I've gone back to my old MacBook Pro for business now because I just don't want to trail around a load of adapters. And, you know, you go out and you forget your adapter. I used to get annoyed that it hadn't got a VGA port, and so I had my adapter for that. But not having an Ethernet port or a FireWire port, it hasn't got a FireWire Ethernet port, so I can't back up to my external disks.
You've got an adapter, mate. I've got an adapter for that.
Yeah, but why do you have to buy loads of adapters? It's crazy. Why not just put it into... I mean, a laptop is a portable device. That's what it's supposed to be, convenient and portable. And so what they do is they get rid of all of the ports. They put a load of unusable ports in that you have to buy a load of expensive adapters that when you're rushing out at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to an appointment or something like that, if you get to put it in your bag and you're screwed when you get to the client site. Absolutely crazy.
I think FireWire's not dead. I think that is an oversight on their part to leave out a FireWire adapter. But it's a very thick port, isn't it, the FireWire?
It's not just the port itself. It's also the card to support it and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
on Greeny's side of things, though, I have often wondered if, you know, requiring the adapters is just a really smart ploy for them to make more money on their expensive dongle accessories. Because I will admit that I have a few extra adapters because I went somewhere and I forgot mine and I just, I'll go to the Apple store and buy a new one.
Yeah, so. It's only got one port for the microphone as well. Like, it's a joint one. So if you want to do analog in for a line in and headphone for a line out, you can't do that either.
You know, you can get a splitter for £2 off Amazon for that.
Yeah, but why do you have to keep... I mean, it's like you put your laptop in. Why do you have to have this bag of adapters? It's crazy. Crazy talk.
But here's the thing.
Here's how
I actually think Apple thinks about this. They're like, we want to make this slimmer. We want to make it simpler. And we want to make it future-proof. So what do? We use Thunderbolt because it can adapt to a bunch of things. And then we don't have to have several different ports. It can be an adapter for Ethernet and all this other stuff. And then USB is pretty ubiquitous, so we'll keep that. But we'll get rid of everything else and we'll sell adapters. And then someone says, yeah, but then you're going to have to carry around a lot of adapters and people will have to buy them. And somebody says, well, if they have to buy them, that's not such a bad thing. I think that's the second consideration is that, we can
and
make
you
a little
only
money.
Have to buy the
I don't think they
need.
Designed it particularly to sell adapters, but it's a happy consequence.
They don't want you carrying adapters if you look at their slick design.
That's a good point, Jeff. Worth saying again.
So how is
Dreeny, shut up. Let Jeff say it again. Say it again, Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff. That's all right. I was just saying that you only buy the adapters you need. So you're getting the adapters just for the ports that you actually use.
That's right. I don't use half of what's on the other one. Not at all.
So nobody here uses an Ethernet port.
I do.
Right now.
Yeah, I do. Right. But if I lost it tomorrow, I don't know that I would miss it all that much.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the amount of data that you're transferring. So I use it for the shows, but I don't use it for the rest of the week. It's only plugged. My laptop's only plugged in for the purposes of keeping the data speed up, so that I can do the shows. Nothing else.
And you say about Thunderbolt, how feature-proof is that? I mean, it's almost an ignored technology. It's only sad idiots who buy Apple computers that are stuck with this ridiculous connectivity format.
You say Greeny, but at Macworld there was lots of people there doing things with Thunderbolt, but one of the things that was there was a Thunderbolt device that you plugged in, and it gave you a relay Thunderbolt output, which is great, but it also gave you three USB 3s and two FireWire 800s and two eSATAs onto it. And of course,
plus gigabit Ethernet.
Plus gigabit Ethernet as well. So that was only taken at one of your Thunderbolt ports. And I think it was $200. And you could plug all your other devices in it. It's one thing to carry around. And because of the fact you've got unlimited chaining of FireWire, potentially, you could chain all your FireWire off it. And you weren't, because it's one Thunderbolt device, you could have done that six times and had infinite numbers of devices and controllers off it. So. Thunderbolt has got expandability. It's people have to make the units for it, and people have to buy the units that people have made for it, and then it'll work. But I love it. I think Thunderbolt is the best thing since sliced bread, no question.
It's a bit of oversimplification, but I mean, it's in essence external PCIe.
Yes.
So
okay.
You know, it's modern, like having, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
I mean, it's oversimplifying it a bit, but.
And there are more and more PC, Windows-based PCs adding Thunderbolt. I'm looking it up right now. InfoWorld's got a good article about Acer, ThinkPad, Asus. So it looks like it might not become FireWire, where really only Mac people use it. It may actually become more widespread.
Yeah. You know what's a good thing that I think a lot of people forget about, too, is, you know, we have USB. And so many people think that USB is like this big thing on the Windows side. It was Apple that pushed the USB standard forward by killing the floppy drive and putting only USB on the iMac.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, and it was just like that back then, just like we had with Thunderbolt. It took several years before USB became so ubiquitous and we had so many USB options and devices and things like that. You know, and it took a while for the PCs to catch up, but once they did, it took off. And I think we're going to see the same kind of trend with Thunderbolt. So there'll be more stuff, and you know, because people still complain there's not enough, you know, things you can attach to Thunderbolt. But I think it's going to really take off.
Intel certainly hopes you're right.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes. There's a few quid invested in that, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's USB 3. They should have just backed USB 3 and forgotten this.
Oh my God, USB 3, the connectors drive me freaking bongos. I mean, they're the ugliest, stupidest things. You know, it's got that little double, the USB 3 connector. What is that thing? And even the mini one is stupid.
Green, did you just come in here just to stir the pot? Or are these your actual own opinions?
Well, I think sometimes it's well bring these things out into the open, because I had no experience of... And when I got this brand new laptop, I was in a hotel, and I thought, okay, great, you know, I'll plug into the internet in the same hotel in Russell Square, and I thought, I'll plug in my Ethernet to go onto the internet. Where's the Ethernet port? It's ridiculous. But you know, where's the CD port or the DVD port?
How many hotels have got an Ethernet port now?
Where is the audio in and
most
audio
of the hotels
out?
I go to don't have Ethernet anymore. It's annoying because I want it.
It's Wi-Fi or stiff shit.
Well, the thing is, in a hotel, right? You know, if you're on like the ninth floor of a hotel, the chances of you getting a reliable internet connection over Wi-Fi are pretty much zero, aren't they? But just my only point, I suppose, is I would rather go for 2 millimeters thicker in my laptop and I'll have some useful ports, including VGA. VGA is not dead.
It sounds like a ThinkPad is the laptop for you.
Oh man, it's true, bloody true it is. So now I'm having to carry around a load of adapters that sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget just to get on with my job. Ridiculous.
I used to go around with my Thunderbolt Ethernet connector on a trip. I hate that. Annoying.
Yeah, forgetting that. That's cool.
And I had in his visor.
Here's another thing. How am I supposed to format it?
What, your hard drive?
Yeah. How am I supposed to do that without a DVD? There's no DVD discs in there.
You do with a thumb drive, you arse.
Yeah.
But isn't that a pain? I surely, in the old days, you give you a DVD, you pop it in, you press the C key down while you're waiting for it to boot. You can boot off your CD. Jobs are good. And now, if you have an
internet connection, it does it all through that too. So you don't have to.
Actually,
he hasn't though, because he hasn't got an Ethernet port.
Oh, that's right. And he can't see what he's doing because there's no VGA connector.
Greeny, exactly. I've got my first ever laptop. It's a Texas Instruments. It's up in the loft. I love it. It's an old grey thing. And it's got an external DVD drive that you had to, or not DVD, CD-ROM that you had to plug in the back via, I'm going to say it was an LPT1 port, but I don't think it was because I don't think the data transfer would have been enough. Tom's going to show us his first ever laptop.
It's got a VGA port.
Yes.
Two Ethernets. It's even got a modem port on there. A couple of USBs. How much you got?
SCSI.
Yeah, SCSI drive. I think it's only a 30.
I can buy straight trade. There, straight trade for the Retina MacBook Pro. What do you think?
30 megabytes, dude. That's more than enough for you, Greeny.
It's got DVD.
Off the hook.
I mean, based on what Tom's DVD as well. What Tom's saying there, mate, you could be talking a straight swap with your new Retina MacBook Pro.
Right, we'll do it.
No cash included.
At least it's been more useful than this load of old rubbish I've got now.
See me anyway. After, Greeny. We'll talk business because I'm looking at a Retina MacBook Pro.
You know, Ewan, you've got that really fancy, high-tech,
Jeff's gone.
Fancy, high-tech.
His Ethernet port disconnected.
I kept that really quiet, Jeff. How did you know? And Jeff's gone. No, Jeff really has. He's gone. There we go.
Bad.
Is he going to be back in time? That's that new router, you see.
No joking here. If he'd been using Ethernet, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly true. Thank you, Tom.
Totally true. I 100% agree with you on that part.
Apple will be notifying users of any information requests which come from law enforcement. Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and Google are all updating their policies to expand routine notification of users about government data seizures unless specifically gagged by judge or other legal authority. Officials at four companies said Yahoo announced similar changes in July. Got to see, that's a good thing, surely.
Not going to be the stuff from the secret court because they're literally like prohibited from that. The other's an advisory though. So they're just sort of flaunting the government there from what I can tell.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd want to know if someone was checking up on you through requests that Apple have come out with it. Is that just going to increase the number of secret requests then? Because they know that they're going to pass on the data. So they're going to go take the time to get the warrant to say, shut up.
Yeah, maybe.
Bit more money for the lawyers.
The investigation.
Bit more money for the lawyers. Never mind.
I mean, frankly, they've been doing that disclosure of just, you know, the number of requests or the range of requests that they get for this sort of information. And, you know, I believe they're putting out real numbers, you know, and not like hiding stuff. But, you know, conspiracy theorists out there can take that. But let's just assume that, you know, that they're disclosing everything they have been getting. I was frankly surprised by how few requests it seemed like to me that they actually get.
I think that's one of the reasons they were fighting so hard to be able to release the numbers is they wanted people to realize, hey, it's not everybody in the world that's being requested here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, per capita, I guess the requests are pretty minuscule percentage-wise.
Yeah.
So... Apple's also hiring. Oh, here we go. Jeff's back.
You have an
incoming call.
Right, Jeff.
That would be me.
You were saying I have a high.
Oh, yes. I was saying you have a pretty high quality computer sitting on that shelf right behind you. Maybe you could trade that for the Retina MacBook Pro.
There you go. See, look at that. You could.
I got two floppy drives.
Well, no, actually, the Greeny would be giving me a bit of money because that's a prototype SE. That's one of five.
Oh, wow. You come out ahead.
And thanks you to Les, because Les has sent me System 7 discs so that I can put System 7 on it, because at the moment there's no OS at all. It runs just fine, but there's just no OS. So this afternoon I will be sitting putting System 7 on it, and next week that will be running behind. It can run the green screen, maybe.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If it's got a VGA port, of course. On a 4K screen. That'll be cool.
System 7 is a proper solid operating system. You know where you are with System 7. Mavericks, right?
Got anything, Greeny?
Oh, here we go.
Right, Mavericks.
Like the Blue Touch paper.
This thing about your system has run out of memory or something like that. You have to close this application or...
Not got that.
I'm getting it continually, both on my old MacBook Pro and my new MacBook Pro.
What are you doing to them? Because you had loads of grief with your old MacBook Pro, and I never had any of the trouble that you had, and I've never had a system out of memory error.
Is anybody else there that had that?
Did you get some filings or something from your toenails and try and use them as RAM?
Well, anyway, there you are. Mavericks.
I'm sorry. These filings are not good enough for this system. Please upgrade to something from Crucial, at least.
These filings are incompatible with your current device.
If you strike me down now, I will be
infinitely more powerful. Thank you. Apple is hiring MIT researcher who's got expertise in ear-worn vital signs monitoring. I said last week, and lots of people laughed at me, but I reckon that the wearable tech stuff that Apple are looking at, I don't think they give a stuff about the general consumer. I think they're selling to medical. They are looking for medical-only devices, and they're just going to flood the medical market with stuff that will go through iOS, link back to the nurse's station, give reads outs left, right, and centre on vital signs, and do all the monitoring stuff that nurses would normally do so that you can cut down the number of nurses that you've got.
I think that's you're a right. Unique I think idea. That's the next trend, right?
You think that's a good idea, Greedy?
No, I said that's a unique idea.
Thank you. And did you agree with me there, Tom?
Yeah, well, I actually think they're probably looking at the consumer market as well, but Samsung has got some kind of health-related announcement coming later this month, and I can't imagine Apple isn't going, you know, full steam towards developing something for that market as well.
Now, is this depending on your medical plan now? You can either go with the medical plan where the devices that you get on your deathbed are hooked up to Apple devices or whether they're hooked up to Samsung devices.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The better death insurance, the higher the likelihood you get Apple gear.
If you're, what's the name of the one that's always getting shit? The medical service thing, the medical insurance. HMO. If you're with HMO, you get Samsung devices.
Gonna be on the PPO for an iPhone.
If you're just on the national insurance, you're gonna end up with Acer.
You get a Windows phone.
Oh, shove that.
Hey, now.
Yeah, mate, take up proctology. Mark Sherman says, you've got to remove the toe jam before you use it as RAM. Thanks very much, Mark. That's got an image in my head I really don't want for the rest of the day. Black Wench says that when she wins EuroMillions, she's already got a slave lined up and she's told him that he's going to do something. That's cool. I'd love my own slave. That'd be fantastic. Show title, Deathbed Fanboys. I'll give you that one. That'd be good.
The Galaxy 5 has got a thingy on it, hasn't it? A pulse.
An Ethernet port?
Right, right.
Floppy drive.
Got the lot. You're taking the mick out of me, but I don't care. Because you know I'm all right. You just don't want to admit it because you're all a fanboy.
Yes, you're absolutely.
You don't admit the truth.
I lie awake at night craving a DVD drive that's internal to the computer, which is why I put an OptiBay in 4 years ago.
I got all these blooming DVDs. What am I supposed to do with them? Make drink mats out of them? I mean,
rip them on your old machine.
On my laptop in my hotel room.
Oh, they're those kind of DVDs.
Yes, exactly.
Ultraviolet.
One-handed DVDs.
Oh.
But literally, I've already got about 500 DVDs, and what am I supposed to do those now?
Right, so Tom's got your solution for you. Go for it, Tom, I heard it.
Yeah, ultraviolet.com will let you, for $3 a pop, turn them into ultraviolet copies that you can play on, like, Voodoo. Or you can just get Handbrake and pop, just rip them all on
pop
your
was
old
the wrong
laptop
word, dude.
Before you get rid of it.
Pop was the wrong word there.
Maybe it was the right word.
Greeny. You should have ripped, because your copy of Withnail and I probably doesn't even work anymore.
Yes, it does, because I've got about four of them.
Oh, right, there we go, because you must have worn them out by now.
Yeah. But it is annoying. It is annoying, and they're putting, and I'm not going to labour the point, but they're putting blooming format over function to a silly extent now. It's all begun when they took the floppy drive out of the original iMac, didn't it?
So
they've got obsessed with this, cutting the ports out and
I love this from you, Greeny. I don't want to label the point, but I've taken the story about Angela Ehrens and turned it into no DVD drive in my new computer. I've taken the story about the legal constitutional stuff for request to seizure and turned that into no DVD drive. And now I've got the hiring the MIT bloke for medical devices, and I've turned that into no DVD drive.
It's not me who keeps bringing up, it's you lot.
You've just done it.
You won't let it go. You won't let it go. Anyway, that saucy woman who works for Apple, she lives in London. Did you know that?
Good, on her. Fantastic. Well, we'll get her a beer when we're down there, see if we can get her to Elmug.
That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
And while we're on the subject, let me tell you about Elmug, because on the 2nd of June, they're banking on the fact there's going to be a keynote for WWDC, and they've hired the theatre at the London Transport Museum, which is in Covent Garden. And it's an absolutely lovely place. It's tucked away in the corner of Covent Garden. And it's one of those TARDIS-like places. You look at it and you think, OK, that's going to take me about 20 minutes to walk around. And it's not. It's a complete history of transport in London. It opens out. It's a huge hall full of buses and trams and underground stuff. It's brilliant. But down below, they've got a theatre, 110 seats, and it's got a 25-foot screen in there. And they'll be streaming the keynote, if we can get it, of course, live, and we'll be down there as well, and we'll be taking commentary from people. There's a fantastic Wi-Fi system down there, so we'll be doing some live shows and feedback from the people that are in there, asking them questions about what they think about what Tim and the team are saying at WWDC, and bringing you all the hot news straight away on our live stream account. So if you're anywhere around London, or if you can be in London that day, if you're a member of Elmug, it's only 15 quid to be a member as well, so it's well worth doing. Go along, join in. Fantastic group of people, and there's loads and loads of fun with them, and they meet every month as well. If you're not and you just want to turn up on the night, it's £5 on the door for non-members. And there's a pile of food there and a load of chit-chat and a load of fun and some great people. And then we're going to go and find a pub to get smashed out after the event. So come along. It's the first Monday on the keynote of the WWDC, which I think is 2nd of June. Yep. So please come along. And Steve will be kicking events off around 5:30, 6 o'clock. So keynote starts at 6, we're banking on. But there's still no official word on that, I think. Please come.
Last time I was at an Elmug. I was standing at the back, and there was probably about four or five blokes around me, and somebody get farting. And you know, you think, well, if I walk away, it's going to seem really rude, isn't it? Because they don't know who it is. They might have thought that I was walking away because it was me farting, and I just couldn't own up to it or what. But it wasn't me, so I did walk away in the end, and I never knew who it was. So if you're listening and it was you,
I'm sure they're itching to pick the phone up and fess up to that one then, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Who farted? Thanks, buddy. Are you going to turn that back into DVDs or not?
Yeah, there's this great DVD about that.
iPhone 6 is allegedly now at 5.5 inches.
Keeps getting bigger.
It does. There's supposedly a video here that I'm playing at the moment on the video feed of the device. They're swearing blind, and I've got to say, it looks very convincing. It's a single molded back. Buttons on the side are very similar. It's at 5.5 inches instead of 4.7, which everyone was saying it was going to be. And I don't know. I hate doing the rumor stuff all the time about, oh, this is iPhone 6, this isn't iPhone 6. But this looks extremely credible. Any thoughts, anyone? Does anyone care?
I think 4.7 inch screen.
They don't have that kind of paneling anywhere in Cupertino, do they?
No, I think this is China. This looks like it's a pre-made
device. Looks nice,
it's something out of like a manufacturing plant. I don't know.
That does look a very Western hand, though, I have to say. Not a Chinese hand. No, the tone
is that thing on the table. It looks like a sonic screwdriver.
No, I think it's a big, mate. It's
just... Oh, okay.
But that's supposedly it. It's it's a very convincing fake if it really is a fake. The back looks like I noticed that the camera notches aren't taken out of it, so it looks like it's one of those kind of things that you'd have in a store so it doesn't get nicked, that's made out of wood or something, potentially.
But how many side buttons does it have?
Well, from what I can tell as well, those volume buttons are on the wrong side on that. They're on the opposite side from where they currently are.
This is a knockoff.
Could be.
Isn't one of the rumors that they're moving the sleep-wake button over to the side? So if they're going to have that on one side, maybe they need to move the volume rockers to the other side. Which, because the volume rockers are on the left side right now, right? Is that right?
That's correct.
Looking at the phone. So would you put, if you're moving the power, I would think you'd move the power button down to the right side, you know, just around the corner, basically.
I still haven't seen a good argument for why the power button needs to move.
I don't think there is a good reason, because I mean, I think if you look at most people, they'd operate the phone left-handed, and then they'd switch off with their right index, their left index finger, which it, in which case it's the perfect position. So it's a pain in the ass to push that button with your right hand in comparison. Is that the left-handed model, says Windrider? Yes, that's right. Apple are going to go, forget about form factor size. They're just going to go for left and right-handed from now on.
When you go in to buy, what's your preferred hand?
Which side does what's her dress?
What side do you dress your iPhone on?
They'll be measuring your index finger and going, sir, should buy the 4.7-inch, not the 5.5, if you know what I'm
bespoke
saying.
Bespoke iPhones.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bloke in a really good suit with a tape measure around his neck going, that looks like wringing his hands. I'm a bit fed up, I have to say, of the iPhone rumors. Get on, launch this sodding thing, you bastard.
I still think we're going to see a 4.7-inch in the autumn, and then the 5-plus-inch is coming next year.
Do you really think there's going to be a 5-plus?
I don't think there's going to be one that's over 5 inches for... Yeah.
Tell us your logic here, Tom.
No. The iPad Mini.
Yeah.
Tell us your logic here, Tom, then. Why do you think there is? What makes you think there is? Because you're not the man to kind of be swayed by gutter speak, are you?
I think the 4.7-inch has enough reputable people talking about it, and it makes sense in the pattern of what Apple does that we would see that this year. The 5-plus-inch is something that I bet they're toying around with. They're making prototypes, and they're messing with to see if it's something they want to do. And if we were to see it, it wouldn't come until the year after. And there would be some sort of, it could be a new type of, you know, model. They're like, it's where the mini meets the phone or the iPod Touch meets the mini or something like that. But if we're going to see something like that with a larger screen, we're not going to see it for a while.
Mm. So, I mean, Tom, but you're saying a whole another year, right? So we get a 4.7 this year and then something bigger the next year. Yeah. You're not in this camp that we're going to get a 4.7 in the fall and then in sometime in the first quarter, they're going to go, hey, here's a bigger one.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people seem to think that there's going to be a 5.5 in the first quarter of, you know, sometime early in 2015.
That seems
Do you guys think it's strange that we've kind of got, you know, we're at May and they're not going to do anything between now and June 2nd, I don't think, before WWDC, but we're 6 months in and Apple have not made any real announcements that denoted a keynote. Yeah, there's some nice cool little upgrades that have gone on and they've actually started finally delivering the Mac Pros, which you know, thank God for that. But you know, it's strange for them not to make an announcement for the first 6 months of something that's at least worth discussing.
No, that's the new norm.
You reckon?
No, this is the new norm. This is what they did last year, remember?
They binge drink for the first 6 months and then spend the rest of the year spewing up on the side.
I call it I've been calling it Apple's product barf fest in the fall. It's the new thing that we get. Apple just pukes forth all their products in the fall and then, you know, we scramble to buy what we want and then we wait 8 months. 9 months.
I always thought it was odd for them to introduce products in January anyway, after the holiday buying season, so that their products were as old as possible by the time the next holiday buying season came around.
Good point.
I think Apple saw the same problem, which is why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. And this is their consumer products. I think what we're going to see is what they're doing now, you know, like with the laptops and the desktops and stuff like that. They're just going to roll those out when they're kind of ready to update or they need to roll in new Intel processors or whatever they want to do with that. But as far as like the consumer electronics, you know, iPods, if we can still talk about iPods, but the iPhone and the iPads and those sorts of things, those consumer products, I think they're going to do it all in the fall. And unfortunately, that's really hard on my bank account. But you can kind of now bank on it, I guess, literally.
There's an interesting
way to say to save your pennies and be like, I'm going to have to spend about, you know, 10 grand in the fall.
There's an interesting passing comment there about the iPod, though. Is the iPod a forgotten brand now? Have Apple kind of, because they've done nothing at all. There's not even been subtle upgrades to it, really. Has there,
were down 55%.
Wow.
In the last earnings call.
Yeah. Are they going to walk away from that brand?
No.
Well, no, iPod Touch, they're still revving.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to walk away from it. It still fits a consumer need, but it's just going to be, it's such a mature product now that it's just going to be something that's around. It's the iPod Touch is going to become eventually like the iPod Classic is now, right? It'll just be the thing that they have. If you want an iPod, hey, here we have a couple of them. But they're not going to heavily promote or tweak or do a lot with the brand moving forward, I don't think.
I've just thought to myself, do something really stupid. Go and see if they're still selling the iPod Classic. Ta-da!
Yeah.
$249, 160 gigs of storage. You can use it like a drive. Oh, look at this. It's a classic beauty. Oh, yes, look at that. What the hell are they doing still selling the iPod Classic? It must be still selling.
People are buying it.
They sell it because of the storage space. You can't get an iPod with that much storage at that price if you go solid state.
What's the retail price on it now?
$249. So it ain't cheap. Yeah.
It's not cheap. That's weird.
No, it's not cheap because they don't sell a lot, right? If they were selling as many as they would sell, like an iPod Touch, it would be $100.
Yeah, but if they're not selling a lot, why still make it?
Capacity, I guess. You're right.
Because there's somebody, because they make an 80% margin on it, and there's apparently enough people that want the storage because they want to carry their whole entire iTunes library with them. They don't want to do, streaming.
They make an 80% margin on it because it's full of electronics from 1985.
I bet you Greeny has one.
Greeny, have you got a classic dude? Have you got a classic dude?
I used to have. I still use. I've got an iPod that I put on my watch, which got those little square ones.
Yeah, yeah.
That works. I think with the iPod, just like Sony have done with the Walkman, the brand will always be there, but it'll stop being a physical thing and it'll become a software thing that lives on other physical devices.
Now, here's the interesting thing. I've dissed the iPod Classic there and thought I'm going to get some support from the chat room. Every single person in the chat room is going, oh, I love my Classic. I've got my Classic. Yeah, I like my Classic. Got an 80 gig Classic. Great battery life on it. Fantastic. I'm well out of touch, mate. Well out of touch.
Well, now you know why Apple still has it around.
I'm clearly not down with the Middle Ages.
My neighbour's still got one, and he bought one only a while ago, and it's a proper audiophile. It's got, that's his whole life, is listening to records from whatever generation, and he wouldn't have anything else. So there obviously still is people who, because the streaming thing is a bit of a pain in the ass, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Does it take FLAC? I've got it in me that it takes FLAC. No, it doesn't take FLAC. Or you can mod it.
Well, if you rip the firmware, it can.
Yeah.
You got to put some third-party firmware on it, though.
It's £199 in the UK, which I think that's pricey.
I just realized I still have a third-gen iPod sitting on my desk. No kidding.
I have a stack of them.
Show us, Jeff.
Right here.
Oh, man. It's a thing of beauty.
It is, and assuming it has a charge on it right now, it'll work.
Stand up, Jeff, and show us.
It's got the battery life of a Nokia 3310.
Well, I put a new battery in this one just to see how tough it would be to do it, and it was easy. I guess I just need to charge it up because it hasn't been charged for a little while.
Damn those pesky electronic devices!
Yeah. It still works, and it's loaded up with music.
Wow.
They are easy to repair, aren't they? They're putting a new battery in, putting a new hard drive in. It's fairly straightforward.
It's fairly straightforward, but it's a total pain in the ass to pop that case apart.
Yeah.
Guitar pick. You just need a guitar pick.
And that's my problem. I didn't have a guitar pick, but I had a couple spongers, and they did the job.
Spudges. We love spudges. Last story then from this week's Apple, I guess, is the updated MacBook Airs. They've got a bump on the Haswell processor that'll give them a bit of a speed boost, and there's $100 slid off the price. I don't know if that's made it through to the UK store, though. I'll have to check while you guys are talking.
Yeah, £100 off in the UK store, too. So you actually get a bigger discount.
Yeah, because we normally get the shit end of the stick with the exchange rate, so spot on. And of course, it figures that I've just bought a MacBook here. That's why they were upgraded.
And discounted.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I've got to say, this definitely says, perhaps, that there isn't an update coming at WWDC, no?
Not for Airs.
Not a Retina display.
Exactly. Everyone was saying Retina were coming, and this, I think, is a fairly clear statement that there probably isn't. Go on, Tom, your eyes are rolling there.
I'm just remembering I was waiting to buy a new MacBook Pro at one point, and they did this kind of upgrade without the price discount, mind you, where they just bumped up the processors, and I was like, okay, that's not going to be it for a while. And I believe it wasn't too long after that they announced the Retina MacBook Pros as sort of a brand new model without updating the old ones. So I guess it's possible that they come with a new MacBook Retina Air model in addition to these two versions here.
That figures in. So I'm getting the double shit end of the stick.
they might. I mean, that might be so sort of what the price drop is about. I mean, that's one of those theories, is they drop the price to kind of, you know, clear out some of those old models and then bring out the new thing at a higher price point.
Well, here's the interesting thing, because I paid £1,349 for mine because I had the top end of everything on it. If you max out the new cheaper base model, it comes out at the same price. So I'm reckoning the storage and the memory have got a slight difference in price, or the processor bump at the 1.7 has got is carrying the extra load on the price, because I paid £1,349 for mine, and it's £100 cheaper for the lower end model, but if you max it out, it goes back to the same price. So that's quite interesting.
That's a little sleight of hand.
Yeah, so I would have got a slightly faster one, but I wouldn't have got cheaper, so I feel better now. Never mind.
That processor speed isn't going to make that much of a difference.
No, maybe not. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. They've had a huge rebranding. And if you go to the dedicated servers page, I made that video for them. They're great. They look after us. Go to the sponsors page on BritishTechNetwork.com and click through. Use all the offer codes. Give them all your business for web, because they're a great firm. They really do care. They are bothered about making good customer services and good products and getting them into the hands of people out there. Co-location services, VPS, VPN. You don't have to be a UK customer to use UK2. You can buy them all over the world and it will still make no odds either way. Pay by PayPal, so you don't have to use a credit card. You don't get territorial issues with that. They're brilliant. Please support them, uk2.net, and go through our website and the sponsors link on bridgechatnetwork.com, and we'll get the kudos and they'll love us to bits, and that'll be that. And the other one are the Network Union. Huge thanks to the Network Union. Robert at the Network Union has given us an $85 Patreon subscription per month, on top of the support that the fact they give us all the broadband coming into the studio. They've really been very kind to us and very supportive of the network. And if you are a small business, or even a medium-sized business, or even a super huge business, as long as you're using business broadband from BT, then the Network Union are the guys that can really help you. Your relationship with BT will stay the same. You will be paying your bill to BT and that'll be the end of it. But what Network Union do is give you an extra layer, the ability to tweak the service, make sure you get what you're paying for, right size your pricing with BT to make sure you get best effect, and they can help you with your LAN and your WAN at the other end of it as well as. So it doesn't matter what size business you are, if you've got BT broadband, business broadband as your service, Network Union can help. Use our click through from BritishTechNetwork.com again on the sponsors page. Give them your email address and they only contact you back for the purposes of saying, hi, how can we help? You don't get kept for marketing and you do not get sold on to other providers. It's purely for that one call that says, let us know what you can do. With my accountant this week on Tuesday, and he was saying, we've got a firm that provide our BT service. I reckon we're getting stiffed. I said, give this guy a ring. So he rang Robert, and Robert said, yeah, this is what we can do for you. And Athol said instantly, right, I think we'll be getting out of our contract and coming and having a word with you then, boys. They're well worth it. They're really good guys. Please support them all you can. And last word goes to Patreon as well. We've done the deal for April, so the bag will be given away next week. But we've got great prizes in May. MacPaw have stepped up and given us a fantastic prize. We've got 3 copies of Clean My Mac 2 to give away, and that I use that every week. I've got 5 licenses on all the main computers, and it is absolutely essential. It tweaks and gets rid of all the crappy files that you accumulate through time. And also we've got Hyder 2 from them as well as, and I think Ian Lewis Photography is a lovely chap down on the south coast who does fantastic landscapes, awesome landscape photographer. He's taken a picture of a leaf and he's turned it into a Jella skin for the iPad Air. And he tweeted a picture out of it earlier on. If you can go back through at Ian Lewis Photography and have a look at it, it is absolutely stunning on an iPad Air with a Jella skin with the picture as the backdrop behind. We've got one of those to give away. And if you'd like that signed by Ian himself, then just send us, if you're a Patreon subscriber, just send us an email that says that you'd like that. Because obviously there's no point in giving that to someone who hasn't got an iPad Air. So if you're a Patreon subscriber and you've got an iPad Air, send us an email and I'll put you into a little separate draw for that as well. So loads to give away this month. Thank you very much to Dominic, who wrote in a little tweet to me and said, are you sure that you're not running a lottery? Because I think that, you know, just check you've got some issues. I just don't want you to fall foul of it. Thanks very much, Dom. We did check it out before, and I don't think we are. And thanks also to the guy who wrote in and said he was going to tell on us to the Gaming Commission. You absolute wanker.
Well, that man's got a big heart.
How dare you try to be nice to your audience?
Yeah, he said, you're a lottery. You can't do that. I'm going to tell the Gaming Commission. So I rang the Gaming Commission and checked, spoke to a lovely bloke there who said, well, you're not selling tickets for this, are you? He said, no, we're just giving it to a selected group of people who've been very kind enough to sponsor us. And he said, no, that's fine. It's a pretty fine group. You're not selling the tickets, not a lottery. It's a free prize draw. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So thanks. Give them a call. They're waiting for your call to out us. I'm sure it'll go down really, really well. Tosspot. superb. Right, it's time for the cool thing, and we've got Jeff. We'll start off with you because I know you've got a bit of a call coming up soon. So rather than delay you.
Yeah, I was actually torn because I ended up having to miss the big show yesterday. And
did you say you were torrenting? Torn.
No, he was torn.
I was torn.
Torn, sorry. Jesus.
Because I have such a cool thing that I wanted to use on that show.
That's okay.
And I think I'm just going to hold it for next week.
Okay.
So instead, I have an iPad app, which is called, what's it called? Flow. And what it does is it gives you Instagram on your iPad instead of having to just use the iPhone app or do without on your iPad. And it gives you this really nice interface. So you can see the images, and you can upload to Instagram from Flow as well, and it supports multiple accounts.
Not to be confused with the one that I looked for, which was Flow Free, which is game.
No, this is not Flow Free.
Yeah.
It is a free download with in-app purchases for other features, but you don't need to buy any of the in-app stuff to fully take advantage of Flow.
The purchase is $2.99, so it's not the end of the world.
Right.
And it's not a keep coming back and paying us $2.99 either.
Right. It just unlocks some extra features, like some different view themes and stuff.
That's excellent. Windrider's gone off on one in the chat room, but I like that, Jeff. That's a good pick. Thank you, mate. Very good. Adam, what do you have for us?
I am actually going to pick a game that has, get this, no in-app purchase, no ads. You just buy the game. And it's freaking awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's a game called Leo's Fortune. And it was, I don't normally like to pick, I think it was Apple's pick of the week or, featured app of the week like last week. And I normally don't like to pick those and find something more obscure. But this one kept popping up and I kept looking at the visual and it just looked like it was beautiful. And it is. The artwork in this is amazing. And then the gameplay is great as well. So it's kind of like a little side scroller kind of thing. It reminds me a little bit of, in terms of gameplay, kind of like Sonic, but not as fast. But you're this little fuzzball guy and you slide him back and forth. And the concept, I think the story is he's had his gold stolen and he's trying to track down and figure out who has taken all of his treasure. And so you go through these different worlds and lands and you have to solve, little, Not puzzles, but you like leap over spiky things and spiky things roll after you. And it's really cutely done and really, really fun. And plus the guy's got a mustache. So
he's
a hipster.
You said it's gorgeous. Mark Shepherd in the chat room saying Leo's Fortune is gorgeous. But I've got to say, I've only seen two screenshots of it here. They are beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, and it's totally fun to play. And it's not super challenging, so I don't think, you know, if you're really good at these kind of 2D, you know, these side scroller kind of games, it might not be that challenging for you. I don't play enough of these that it doesn't bother me. So I think I'm about halfway through it or something after a couple of days, and I don't have a lot of time to play. So, you know, if you were really hunkered down, it probably would be only a couple hours of gameplay. But, you know, it's $4.99. And again, it's a game. I really like that it doesn't have any in-app purchase and no ads. It's just, hey, give us $5 for this really fun, great game. And
yeah, Paul Wheatley recommended a game the other week, and he did it on the Gamer Show as well. I can't remember what it was, but he said it lasted a little bit less than he thought it should for the amount that he paid. He wanted a bit more out of it. But Chiz, who was on that show, said, no, that's a sign of a good game. If it finishes and you just blitz through it and you get to the end, you're like, oh, I want some more. That's the indication of a good game. It's not feeling like you've been cheated. Not at all.
Yeah. Definitely. It's been definitely given me more than the $4.99 worth of entertainment. And again, fabulous. It's just, I love supporting developers like this because I'd love to see these guys make more. I should look and see what else they've done and what else they have on the App Store. It doesn't look like anything as near as I can tell. So,
well, I hope the money that you gave means that it'll spur them on to be able to do something. Spot on. Good pick, mate. I like that. I'll be buying that this afternoon. It cost me a sodding fortune doing these shows. Thomas, what do you have for us, sir?
Well, the ThinkPad T42 is a lovely laptop with a DVD drive.
Oh, dude, put the DVD away. Greeny's got wood.
Runs Windows XP, which was just patched. So it's still,
Still, is that the final patch? Final patch for XP, though?
It was the final after the final. Right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, one more time, we'll patch it. And then that's it. Get out.
And go this time we really need it, guys.
No, in all seriousness, the fine folks at LifeX sent me their light bulbs. LIFX.co is the website. And they're one of those, they're like the Philips Hue, where you control it from an app. So I have it on my iPhone, and I can just press, you know, turn on the lights upstairs in the living room and the lamp, and now the lights are on. I go back and forth how cool this is. Sometimes it's really fantastic. It's nothing to sneeze at. Sometimes it's really fantastic because...
Can you do this with your nose? Listen, this is good.
You really don't like this light bulb, huh?
Thank you, Greeny. Carry on, Tom.
So it's kind of nice when you're like, oh, it's getting dark. I want to turn that lamp on and I got my phone on me. I just don't have to walk over there. Right. Or I'm sitting on the couch and I want to turn off the living room light. Boom. I do that. At the end of the night, though, when you're like, time to turn the lights out and go to bed, you're like, where's my phone? I got to launch it. So I go back and forth, but it works really well. It's dead simple to set up with your Wi-Fi connection. And so far, you know, it's got some cool features like the ability to change the color temperature. You can even do some fun like party light things where you can make it green or red or change colors with the music and stuff like that. But it's, I've been having a good time playing around with it.
I'm playing the video here while you're talking that they've got on Vimeo. It links to your alarm function. So when your alarm goes off in the morning, the lights come on. And
yeah,
also,
yeah. I haven't played with that yet. Mostly because I have it in the front room, so it doesn't really matter to me because I only got the two bulbs that they sent me.
And the other thing is, if you've got notifications on your phone, it'll flash the lights.
Yeah, I definitely do not want to use that. Can you imagine?
You got a podcast.
Your podcast has been updated on Downcast. Flash, flash,
flash. So, Tom, has it got like Wi-Fi in the bulb or something? How does it work? I don't understand.
Yeah, so the way you set it up at the very beginning, you connect your app to the bulb's Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi has an SSID.
Oh, so you're not doing it in your own Wi-Fi?
Well, no, you are. You connect to that Wi-Fi, and then you tell it, connect to this SSID, which is your home network, and then the bulb switches from broadcasting to receiving on your network, and that's how you authorize it on your network. And then after that, it's just on.
Cool. So unlike the Philips system, this doesn't need a whole another thing plugged into your router, right? You're going straight to the bulb.
You just put it in the bulb and set it up.
Okay.
So now, Thomas, give us the bad news. Oh boy, how much are these things?
You know what? I don't know. They just sent me them to try out.
$100 a bulb.
I got them free. Yeah, they're free. I can confirm they're free.
They're $100 a bulb. Which now they say they're going to last you a lot longer than a regular bulb. You know, I don't know if I. There's no way to test that except a weight.
Well, they're LEDs, right? So I mean,
yeah. So they should last a really long time.
Yeah, theoretically, they're not
20,000 hours allegedly.
Burning out an LED is pretty tricky.
Yeah, totally.
It's greedy to find a way.
They have multi-pack too, so you can. It looks like you can save money if you buy 4 or 10 at a time.
Yeah, there's a 4-pack, isn't there, for $380?
ten pack for $910,
and a 10-pack for $1,000, near enough, including shipping.
But the good, I do like the simplicity of it.
Yeah,
the good news is they take PayPal.
Sure,
PayPal would block your sudden account for $1,000.
Well, I mean, this is not. I mean, the Philips system's pretty much, you know, close to that as well. I mean, this is just. I mean, you got to get this new technology out there, and the pricing will come down. But I mean, it's kind of cool stuff. I know a lot of people who are into home automation and things like that, and you know, like the alarm feature, you can kind of have the lights come up slowly. You know, I don't know if this system does that sort of thing, but.
Yeah,
you know, or
yeah,
set a different color temperature that's maybe a little more peaceful to wake up to, so you're not, you know, waking up to the harsh bright light or something like that. So
it was weird trying to figure out the right color temp.
Yeah.
Well, it looks gorgeous. If you go to lfx.co, there is a Vimeo video on there that I'm going to say does a very good job of selling it. It looks absolutely gorgeous. I'm not sure that I'll be replacing all the bulbs in my
house. That's the thing. Yeah.
Well,
I'm guessing you don't have children, do you?
lights on, lights off.
Gradually with a bulb that slowly changes color and wakes me into the day. That's not going to happen.
My daughter.
A confusion of like, oh wait, my phone's not here. How do I turn this on?
I normally get a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old jumping up and down on me. That's my
way. Let's be honest. We all want that Star Trek future at some point, right? Computer, set the lighting to 20%.
Yeah. Siri, and turn on my light.
I've got that right.
Exactly.
Now.
We have to have these steps, right, to get there. So that's good. I'm glad this kind of stuff exists.
Is there a disco feature? Because that's what would interest. There is.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I'm gonna have to buy those.
There's a strobe feature, and then there's one that we tried out. It didn't work great. Where it's supposed to actually listen to the beat of the music and pulse along with it. It worked really crappy on my iPhone. It was passable on my wife's Samsung Galaxy S5. So, you know, your mileage may vary.
I was going to say,
I wonder if it's the noise canceling in the iPhone microphones that screwed it up.
Yeah, maybe.
The 20,000 hour warranty is void if you enable the disco mode, however, though.
They'll need to change that feature, Jeff, if that rumor about them integrating Shazam comes true, right? They'll have to have some sort of software bypass.
Yeah,
yeah, they would. Yeah.
Greeny, what do you have for us, sir?
Right. First of all, apologies for the sneeze and stuff.
Take your time, because I need a pee.
Okay. Well, I've had this big fat cat move in. His family have moved a house, and he's decided he likes this place, and so he's moved in. And I'm allergic to cats. But he's such a nice little chap, I can't kick him out. So, that's the reason I'm sneezing. Is that it then? Just me, is it?
Yeah, no, you're supposed to do your pick, I think.
Oh, okay, right, good. My pick, now, I don't think this is available in America, but in Britain there is something called Desert Island Discs. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
I have heard of it, yeah.
It's great. It comes on Radio 4. And it's been going for 50 years, I suppose. So all of the... They pick or invite celebrities to say, well, if you're on a desert island, what records would you take? And it's sort of an interview with those particular guests. And in between, they pick the records that they would take, and they can choose an item that they would like to take to the desert island.
I've got to say, Radio 4 thoroughly recommend that.
For free via podcasts. The whole archive, stretching right back to the 60s, of all of these amazing people who have shared their picks and also, you know, parts of their life and so forth. And so, I mean, for me, there was actually Keith Floyd, who I'm a massive fan of. There was a film star called Dirk Bogard, again, massive fan. A comedian called Spike Milligan, again, massive fan. And you can download their Desert Island Discs totally free of charge using the podcast app or via iTunes or whatever you want to do. And it's really enlightening and inspirational if you've got a particular hero or a particular interest. I mean, they go from sports heroes to actors to comedians to authors to pretty much anybody you can mention. And over a 40 or 50 year period, there's a huge amount to choose there. So instead of run to Audible and downloading the book, go out to the Desert Island Discs and subscribe to the podcast.
I've got to back Greeny up on that because one of the things that Kirsty Young, who does the interviewing, is a fantastic interviewer. She really does know how to ask the right questions at the right times. And also, there's a lot of people that you see on there and you look at the title of them and go, that I have no interest in listening to that, or I have no clue who this person is. And you put it on just because you've run out of podcasts to listen to in the car, and within 5 minutes, you're hooked. Because the person is so interesting. It's a great... I'd urge American listeners to listen as well, because there's Dustin Hoffman's been on recently. Martin Sheen was on there recently as well. They've had a lot of American guests on as well as... But there's also some seminal British figures in there as well. I'm trying to think of Kenneth Williams. The Kenneth Williams one with Parkinson was absolutely superb.
Kenneth Williams, yeah. I thought the Kenneth Williams one was almost like... You didn't really get to know who he was, did you? It was more like a, it was like a show. He was playing the game, I thought, with the Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth Williams was devoutly gay in an area where in an era where he couldn't be devoutly gay, and it was trying to cover that up to a certain degree with the entertainment value of him rather than the personal value of him, which is difficult. But now people are far more personal about what the responses they give and the insights they give into their personal lives. And it's a fantastic podcast. Absolutely, totally endorse you there, Greeny.
Good. That was a good pick, wasn't it?
It was excellent. And Bronwyn's really impressed with the speed that I can pee.
That was quick. And I was trying to buy you time, to be honest with you.
Thanks, mate.
I tried to go introspective and sound intelligent just for a few minutes while you could have a wee.
My cool thing is the 6 terabyte Thunderbolt drive from Western Digital. I've got to the stage. I use the MyBooks, the 3 terabyte versions, and I run around with one of those in my bag. And also the fantastic thing that Chris gave me, the TuffTech Duo with another 2 terabytes on it. This one is superb. It's 6 terabytes. It's 2 3s rated together, but I can use the 2 3s at home to back up off this and then carry this one around, which means my ability to carry mobile data has gone up. And my problem is that I've just got to the stage now where I've got more than 3 terabytes of movies that I have to carry around with me for one customer. £385, and it's Thunderbolt connectivity as well as, and it relays your Thunderbolt port as well. So I love it. It's absolutely fine, and it's blisteringly fast. And I also wrote on the Help blog this week about how to set up a Thunderbolt bridge as well through your Thunderbolt system. So if you want to connect 2 Macs together and you want to create a Thunderbolt bridge, you can still do it with drives in the middle, and you get fantastic transfer speeds between the two drives. Dead easy to do. Check out the Help blog.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's dead easy to do. All you have to do is it assigns a 169 IP. As long as you've got the 169 IP, you just post it into the connect to the servers. That's it. Job done. Away you go.
Do you know the 169 IP who bought that, who owned it?
No, I didn't know you could.
Ah, it was Bill Gates.
Really? He invented the 169 IP?
Well, he bought it, and he gave it to the world as a sort of, so if you're... if your network or your device can't resolve an IP via the old DNS and all that gubbins, he gave it out as sort of the self-assigned IP of choice, and he gave that to the world.
It's ironic as well, isn't it? Because if you see a 169, you usually breathe a sigh of horror.
Yes, you do, don't you?
Yeah, but it's with Thunderbolt connectivity, it's perfect, just what you need.
I never get those with my computer anymore.
Good.
Because I can't connect to a breather now.
So, Ewan, it's time for me to bail.
Where can we get a hold of you, Jeff?
You can get a hold of me at macobserver.com and freshbrewtales.com and a whole slew of podcasts.
Excellent, mate. Where can we get you, Adam?
You can find me... You can find me with Jeff over at We Have Communicators, but normally on the MacCast at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, and pretty much MacCast everywhere, including Twitter and Google Plus and all those fun places.
Thanks, fellas. I know you guys have got to go for a call, so do appreciate your time. Thanks ever so much.
Have a good one.
Tom, where are you, buddy?
TomMerritt.com, TOMMERRITT.com. And of course, Daily Tech News Show is my daily show, DailyTechNewsShow.com as well. And also just a quick plug for the Sword and Laser Anthology for the science fiction and fantasy podcast I do is now out and available. Look for it at swordandlaser.com.
That's a thick old book, dude.
Yeah, it's 360 pages, 20 stories in here.
Excellent. Well done, mate. I saw your set when I was at Petaluma. I went in and spent a day with Pixel Core and saw the set. It was absolutely beautiful. Really cool.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Quanto did a great job.
And people can donate to you at Patreon as well, the same as us. So you're patreon.com/...
Ace Detect. ACEDTECT.
There you go, mate. Please give Tom, because it's a fantastic show. Really, really spot on.
Oh, thanks, man.
And now you get the extra money, mate. You can go all out, can't you?
Yeah, well, the more we get, the more we can do, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw you had a tweet up the other week as well. How did that go?
Yeah, it was fun. We had about 20 people show up at the farmer's market downtown LA, and maybe a few more than that, actually. It was a good time to meet people and have that moment of like, you know, oh, that's S.P. Sheridan from, you know, see people meet each other and getting to know each other by their chat handles or their subreddit handles. Really cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm still over getting you to introduce me to Alison Sheridan yet, mate. Jesus Christ. Greedy, where are you, buddy?
You can get me by my love handles if you want to.
Only after a few beers.
You can get me at britishmac.com.
Thanks, buddy. And you're publishing Monday, right?
Yeah.
9 a.m. Monday, I will find a British Mac podcast.
You will? Yes, a superb one, as always. I've got second part of an interview. If you are into Tony Hancock or British comedy, the Galton and Simpson. So I've got an interview with Alan Simpson. And I've also got an interview with the UK's leading, since James Herbert died, the UK's leading horror writer.
Dude, I can't get over it. You published the second half of an interview 6 months after the first part, and the interview was done 10 months ago.
Well, that's the trouble with you, Rankin, is you rush, week in, week out. It gets monotonous. People want the excitement of thinking, oh, is it going to come this week or is it not? Do you think or not?
The anticipation.
I can't, the thing is, he stays up. I can't get over. Greeny publishes one podcast every 6 months, and he's at number 8 in the UK chart.
He may be the most brilliant podcaster of all of us.
Absolutely. He's got the marketing down. Absolutely right.
That is what it is. It's all about the quality of the podcast, and people wait for it. It's like it's almost like Morecambe and Wise. Christmas show. That's what it is. Only comes out once a year.
You've got three people here, mate. You've got me with all the BTN podcasts. You've got Adam with the MacCast, and you've got Tom with DTNS. And none of us are above you in the UK store for tech news. And the thing is, you don't even cover news that's current. Your show's got news from 6 weeks before, at best.
Well, I've got the Christmas stuff going on. This in the next one.
I explained that you and though, right? Why that works.
Yeah. If you can, please unsubscribe from us and then resubscribe to us. Please. Just get us above green.
Only counts your new subscribers.
For 1 week.
You've done a show for a long time. It's very hard to get into the top rankings.
We'll be back again next week. Normal time, I hope. Give us a shout. Get any questions. Help Show's back in 2 weeks. Carrie Holtzman's coming on. That'd be really cool. He's a really good Windows tech. Send us your questions to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And we've got a House of Cards podcast, which is being posted this week as well. We started that with Jackie Hearn.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Before you move on.
All right. That's fantastic.
I heard your advert about that. That sounds great. The UK one, fantastic. I haven't watched the American one yet. Is it as good as the UK one or not?
It's done very well, I would say. I think there's a lot of tips to the UK. I think Spacey does a good job of recognising just how groundbreaking the first one was with the US one. But the US one's very gripping. It's a lot slower. It takes them two seasons to get him into the presidency, which Urquhart's at the end of the presidency after four episodes, the prime ministership after four episodes in the UK one. But it's well worth doing. And actually, you should go on the podcast with Jackie, mate, because she wants some Brits to go on and talk about comparisons in the storyline between that. Any of you guys, if you're into the stuff, get on Jackie's podcast. She's willing to have you on as guests, absolutely.
When he chucks her off the top of the House of Commons
the garden, the roof garden.
Yeah, it's
we got to be
call
careful.
Me daddy, and then chucks. I mean, it's shot. If you never watched it, I've probably just ruined it for you.
No, I watched the original.
Ignore just what I said.
Jackie was saying, so did you watch the original? I said, yes, I watched the original. And she's asking me all these questions. Well, I watched the original 24 years ago. I was 23 years old. Please give me a break. Don't expect really intricate details. I've got to remember a kind of basic understanding of what I remember watching. But it's a really good podcast. I had a great time. We recorded on Wednesday afternoon, and it was a fantastic time with her and Vincent. Charlotte Henry's going on it, who, of course, used to work for an MP in the Houses of Commons, so she'll bring some insight to the British side of things as well as next week. And Tom, if you want to go on it, you should go on.
Yeah, no, Jackie sent me an email about it. I'm excited. You got some good folks on there. Yeah. Good Diamond Club folks, actually.
Yeah, no, come on, mate. Come on the show. It'd be great. And you have to put us... unfortunately, it's the timing again, isn't it? Because it's 8 o'clock, but you need to come on the Help Show one night. We'll get the timings right on that, because that'd be pretty
cool.
All right,
yeah, let's figure it out.
Yeah, come
on. All right, there's my other call, so I'm going to drop off. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.